What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 70, and I guess I wouldn't call it the Weekly Tech Podcast because we did miss last week. I was at an event, and it was just an extremely busy weekend, but we are back this week, and this episode is brought to you by our friends at Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman and check out what they have to offer, they are signed on to sponsor a bunch of our podcast episodes, so definitely check them out, and they're coming out with some really cool products over the next couple of months. With me, as pretty much always, I have Derek here. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on?
Not much, man. I
feel like a new sponsor. I didn't know.
Yeah, new podcast sponsor, Zalman. So, and they have some pretty cool products coming out, which we will be reviewing as well over the next few weeks. So they have some cool stuff. Obviously getting ready for that fall season and back to school and all that kind of stuff. So
Zalman always has good stuff.
Yeah. So excited to have them on board and excited to be back doing the podcast. Like I said, we missed last week. I was out in California at a Gigabyte event, which we will talk about towards the end of the podcast here. But that was a lot of fun. I was out in Napa, which I had never been to.
It's good to go to new places.
Yeah, it's a really cool area. It's beautiful. It's an amazing area. And it was cool to just kind of go out there for a little bit and hang out and see some other tech site owners and obviously hang out with the guys at Gigabytes. And they were showing us some of their new products as well. So a lot of cool stuff over the past couple of weeks, but we will jump right into reviews, and we'll start pretty much everything is all mobile related. So we'll start with a phone, which is the HTC 10, and actually Verizon sent this over to me. They wanted me to check it out, and I kind of thought about it, and I said, well, why not? I am a iPhone user. I have been for a long time, and I don't think I would switch out of that whole ecosystem or anything. I do really like my iPhone and what I'm able to do with it, but it gave me a chance to check out what Android is all about and actually using Android more than just kind of picking up a phone for 5 minutes and using. I actually use this phone that they sent me, and it is a good smartphone. The big thing with HTC, I'm sure you know more than me, but when they first started making Android phones, they were the phone to get. Like the HTC phones were really, really awesome. But over the past couple years, they've had some really bad releases, and they just weren't.
Definitely fallen. They're like third tier now.
Yeah, so this phone is really made to bring HTC back to the forefront. I know they're hemorrhaging money really badly. This is the phone. This is their flagship new phone, and it's made to be really, really good. In my experience with it, I had it for about a month, and it's a solid phone. It has a really good feel. It's made of all metal, which I really, really like. So many of these phones these days are kind of crappy and plasticky, and this thing has a good feel. It feels really great in your hand. It feels good in your pocket. Another thing that I really liked about the phone is the camera. Really good camera, shoots really well. It shoots 4K video with high quality audio. It's 24-bit sound, so that's big if you want to do a lot of video work with this phone. It is really good like that. I would say it's not as fast as an iPhone though, as far as shutter speed. So say something happens, you're like out in a car wrecks or something, and you want to really pick out your phone and shoot a photo. It's not as fast as an iPhone in that regard, but it does shoot the 4K video with the high-quality audio, which is a really big deal, I think, for a lot of people these days. You know, we are moving to 4K, and shooting something in 4K and then watching it back is pretty awesome. On the phone, but if you watch it on your computer, it really is pretty amazing. So I really liked it. I liked using Android. I know, obviously, Android is a more open system than iOS, for sure. And it was good. And I played a bunch of different games on it as well. Had no real performance issues with this phone. And it worked really well. Verizon did send it to me. The Verizon service was really good. I directly compared against AT&T, obviously, in the Pittsburgh area. So that's not... You know, yeah. And it's not going to relate to your area, but still very fast. you know, and it's just a good phone. I think that if you are an HTC fan and you were kind of let down by phones in the past, this is one you're definitely going to want to take a look at, I would think. Yeah, and that
it's got an awesome display, awesome specs.
Yeah, it has really good specs. It's a highly spec phone. It's really good. And again, I'm not that familiar with Android, but from what I've gathered, this uses a more flat UI design. It's called their Sense 8 interface. And it's built on top of Android Marshmallow. And it just makes it a lot easier to navigate, and it's just kind of a cleaner look to everything. And like I said, it was really easy. You know, in the past, I have, you know, picked up Android phones, and it was just kind of clunky, and like I just didn't like it as much. This was really easy, and really easy to find things and move applications around and icons around and everything. So I really didn't have any real issues with this. And it was obviously nice having two different phones. You know, I could take video on one or something, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but it is a good overall phone, and also one really cool thing about the camera is it does have a professional mode, which you don't find on a lot of phones. Yeah. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to set custom white balance, custom exposure, custom ISO, and a custom focus area. So if you kind of wanted to really take some really great photos with this, you know, by setting your own settings, you can actually do that too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and you can shoot in RAW.
So, oh, it will save RAW files?
Yeah, so in if you go into the Pro mode, you can shoot in RAW, which is nice.
Yeah. Not that I would imagine that it has terribly huge image sensor, so you're not going to maybe get the greatest benefit out of a RAW file, but that's still pretty cool that it'll save that.
Yeah, so it's just, like I said, it's a good phone. I believe the price... I can't find the price. See, the thing is, it all depends on the carrier. Verizon... Okay. Is the I know a couple other carriers offer, but Verizon is the big one that offers it, and
okay.
All of these carriers now, they're not doing that big discount on the phone, so you buy the phone flat out and you pay for it over time.
Yeah, it's a pretty disappointing system.
Yeah, they switched to, yeah, because you're used to, okay, it's been 2 years, I get my upgrade, you know, now they're not doing that as much anymore.
Yeah.
But again, if you are on Android and you're a fan of HTC, or you're looking for maybe a new Android phone, I did like this phone. It's not something that I felt was a horrible design phone. It felt really good, performed really well, and like it has a good screen. It worked just to my liking. So
good.
definitely check it out. Check out my review. And again, my review is coming from an iPhone standpoint. So maybe you are on an iPhone. I kind of give you my take on, you know, from an iPhone user perspective. So
yeah, for sure.
So yeah, so definitely check that out. And moving over to mobile gaming, I took a look at a really cool product from TT Esports, and it was their Contour mobile gaming controller. And this is really, really cool. It's made for iOS, and they don't have an Android version. And I actually tried to use it on Android, and it does not work.
That's actually disappointing, because I did watch your full video on this, and it was really cool.
Yeah, so one, check out the video, and the video is the new formats, which I actually shot a video talking about the new format that we're going to be using for our videos. But the video is in the new format, which I think flows very well, and I'm pretty excited to shoot more videos like this. But yeah, so the Contour is a little controller, sort of in the style of an Xbox 360 controller. And it has a little mobile holder that flips up and holds your mobile device, which is really cool. So this basically gives you that added functionality of a controller with your mobile games. And mobile games are great, but there are a lot of more high-end mobile games, like the ones I tested, which would be like the Star Wars games and a bunch of other games, that a controller is just so much better. It makes you a better mobile gamer. And mobile gaming, you know, we're PC gamers, but mobile gaming is pretty big these days. And, you know, you want to play your best. You want to be able to play your best. So using a controller will give you much more control, I feel, than your fingers.
Yeah, when I've tried to do mobile gaming, the reason I've always quit is because it's super frustrating. The controls are unintuitive, or they don't respond like the way you would expect them to. So this looks like a perfect solution to that.
Yeah, and it's really easy. It is rechargeable, which I like. A lot of these mobile controllers use batteries, which you obviously have to replace down the line. This is rechargeable micro USB, so you can plug it into any USB charger, which I assume you would have one if you're playing, you know, you have your phone with you as well. And it's compact. I took it with me to my trip out to California, played with it on the plane. It uses Bluetooth, it connects, and it's MiFi certified, which means it will work. It's certified to work with iPod, iPad, and iPhone. So again, you know, if you're using something bigger like an iPad, it will work as well.
Cool.
So yeah, really, really cool. I would definitely, if you are a mobile gamer on iOS and you love playing mobile games, and you know, or you, like say you take a lot of flights or something, this will make that flight much more enjoyable. It's definitely worth it.
I see this being like the commuter that sits on the train for an hour each way every day.
Yeah, but if you know, yeah, and if you're a gamer, this is definitely it.
Then you're not wasting your time anymore.
Yeah, and this made me want to play mobile games again. Just like you, I get really frustrated with mobile games. They're just not fun to me because I don't have that control. So this gives you that control. And I actually, while I was testing it, I just sat there for like 2 hours and played games.
Really?
You know, so it's not something that, you know, like that's not functional. It's extremely functional. And it's very intuitive. I mean, I own Xbox and I own an Xbox 360, so I'm used to that controller feel. But it should be pretty intuitive to use. You should just be able to pick it up and use it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a straight copy from the 360 controller.
Yeah, and one thing also I really wanted to point out is that there are other controllers like this, but they're very small. This is pretty much a full-size controller, and I like that because the microcontrollers, while they are smaller and make it easier to maybe travel with, the smaller controller, again, gets you back to being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Having a pretty much full size controller, I prefer that, especially for long gaming sessions.
Yeah,
for
sure.
If you're
gonna play for any serious period of time, you're gonna be much more comfortable with this.
Yeah. So it sells for $79.99, which I don't feel is that expensive given all of the features that it has. And
how is the build quality? Because a lot of times on these things, they are built like crap.
Now it is made of plastic. It felt pretty good. Like, you know, it would have been
plastic, or what do we?
It was pretty, you know, pretty heavy,
you know,
duty,
I mean?
Plastic.
You know what I'm asking? Like there's like your cheap plastics, and most of these types of things are made out of like a cheap plastic.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's like super cheap plastic that you find on like a $20 controller. You know,
Not quite the same as like a 360 controller itself.
It's about the same as a 360 controller. The only thing I didn't like is like the plastic. It's going to become uncomfortable after long gaming sessions. I would feel, and like, it would have been nice to have like rubber grips on the bottom or something like that, just to give you a little bit more control and, you know, more comfort. But you know, there are versions that could be coming out down the line that they could make these improvements to. But I think I looked out there, I think this is probably one of the best iOS controllers out there.
Nice.
You know, especially for iPod and iPhone, it does have the little flip out holder there. And you can kind of move around, and that thing, your phone's not going to move.
Nice.
So, definitely, like I said, if you are a mobile gamer on iOS, this is something you should definitely look into for sure.
And if you're like me and you see this at first and you're like, this looks stupid, definitely watch Bob's video because it makes it look a lot cooler.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I put a lot of time into that video, so.
Yeah. It made me actually think that I would actually use this device.
That's cool. I'm glad that I did that for you. And I'm sure TT Esports is happy about that as well.
Yeah.
So finally, our last review is a really cool thing. And, you know, a charging cable isn't something that to get that excited about. But I think this is actually really unique. And one thing, I've always liked Native Union products. We reviewed a few in the past, and they've always been unique. And they serve a real purpose. And they're actually functional, you know.
Right.
A lightning charging cable is something that everybody who has an iPhone, iPad, or iPod needs. And sadly, the one that comes with your device will break within 2 to 3 months, guaranteed, if you use it at all, really. They're just cheaply made and they're bad. And even the replacement ones are you know, $30 and you're getting a pretty crappy product. So Native Union has this product called the Night Cable. And what it is, it's a pretty heavy duty cable. It's a 10-foot long cable, but it has a weighted knot in it. that basically anchors it to whatever you, any flat surface you put it on.
Okay.
And that makes it really convenient for a couple of reasons. One is that, say you're, you know, you wake up or you need to grab your cable really quick, it will always be on the table because it's not going to fall off because it has the anchored weight there.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it easier. Two is that if you do, for some reason, pull your cable, it's not going to fling your phone across the table or fling your phone off the table or something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to keep it there. And, you know, it just makes it so you can easily connect your device. And this is just all convenience things that do make a big difference. And I think it looks pretty cool as well. It's a really good looking cable. It's a really well made cable too. So the biggest things you want to look at when it comes to these cables are what the cable is actually made out of and the ends. So this cable is braided nylon, which isn't going to rip really or tear or anything. And then the ends are reinforced, and that's where most lightning cables fail, is on the ends. So both the USB end and the lightning connector end are both reinforced, so you're not going to have any problems with this thing failing. And it is 10 feet long, so that makes it really nice. So usually I have a iPhone charger right under my nightstand, right beside my bed.
Yeah,
and the typical cable length doesn't allow me to, say, like, roll over in my bed and still have my phone connected. So having 10 feet means I can pretty much just, like, roll over to the other side of my bed and still be charging my phone, which, again, is very convenient. You know, again, this isn't some product that's super exciting, but I think it serves a purpose. It's extremely convenient, and it's priced within reason, given that it is a 10-foot cable. And it's made really well and looks really good. And it, the weight,
price?
It's $40.
Okay.
So you
don't really want it, but
yeah.
Still.
But I think again, given
quality
the competitive price of lightning cables, especially, I think the 10 or 15 foot Apple one is just as expensive, and I feel it's horrible quality.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
I really
definitely
like the knot idea is pretty sweet because I have the same issue.
Yeah, so you like
the cable, I'm always having to like reach or search around on the floor for the end of my cable.
Yeah,
plug it in. So
yeah, so this makes it really great, and you can move that knot down the line to where you want it too.
Oh really?
Yeah, so it just moves.
That's cool.
So like I said, it's a really cool product, really functional, and it's weird that these, you know, Native Union always seems to come out with products that people haven't thought of, and it's just like, wow, like this is extremely functional.
Yeah, like,
you know?
They absolutely should have thought of it, but they
yeah
didn't.
And like when you look at it, you're like, oh, this is kind of dumb, but then when you actually use it, you're like, wow, this is, because when I saw this, I was like, this is kind of dumb.
The knot looks odd.
Yeah, okay. It does look odd and everything, but again, you use it and it's extremely functional. So
yeah, and it's like you gotta have it in perspective, like the name of it, it's to be in your room, not like a, like, take it everywhere with you type of cable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a 10-foot long cable, so taking it everywhere is just not the best idea, I would say.
It did not make sense in that regard.
Yeah. But I would definitely recommend it if you're looking for a longer cable. Definitely one, you know, if you're laying in bed or even laying on the couch, because, again, it is 10 feet. So, you know, you can pretty much plug it in across the room and still be connected, which is nice.
Nice.
So, yeah. So definitely check out that review, and we will move on to one of our favorite posts each month, which is our worst PC setups, and we have our ones from last month, which is June, and some are pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I would say I feel is the worst. I don't know. There's a lot of laptops in there, and it seems like everybody has an old laptop that when their main PC breaks, they want to use their old laptop, and it's just horrible. Half the time the screens don't work, or like they're all busted or whatever.
Yeah, it's the screen broken laptop that like makes me laugh the most.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ones that we have where people just aren't clean people either.
Those are my favorite ones.
Yeah, or a lot of times we see the ones where people are moving and they want to get on their PC, they want a game, but they just don't. The one this month is a guy was moving and none of his furniture came in, so he has his PC set up in his kitchen, which is kind of funny. But yeah, so definitely check it out. A lot of these are really funny to look at, and of course it makes you feel better about your PC setup. You know,
every single
because sometimes my desk gets dirty. It's a little dirty right now, but it's nowhere near as bad as any of these.
Like, I could sort of qualify on the clutter status, but, like, it's not, like, garbage. on my desk, whereas, like, let's see, we got a pizza slice, we've got cans everywhere.
Yeah.
And actually, some of these aren't even as bad as some of the months past.
Yeah, so we post this every month. We go out and we find 20 of these, and we've been doing it, I don't know how long now, for a while, at least a year, right?
Yeah, oh, a couple of years, I would say.
Yeah, so definitely just check out all the worst PC setups we have. There, a lot of them are really funny. Some of them are horrible, and you're like, how do you live like that? But some people do, I guess. It's really interesting and really funny to check out, so definitely go ahead and check that out.
You know what's the most shocking thing to me from this month? The low quality of some of these photos.
Because everybody, that's like potato photos. That's what it's just like they take it with like a old razor phone or something.
It's something, man. Like,
yeah.
It's like a Polaroid that they scanned into a computer.
Yeah, some of them are pretty bad. So they're still funny to look at, though. And like, still make you feel much better about your PC, for sure. Oh, yeah. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and that's something also we look forward to every week, because we feature a case modder build that's been completed in the community, and it's just great to show off these builds and creativity and pretty much artwork, I would say, of a lot of these modders and builders. And this week we have a build called Prototype Number 2, and it's the actually the second build we've seen in the Hex Gear R80, and this was actually built in the Prototype Number 2 of the Hex Gear R80, which is pretty cool. That's why it's called Prototype Number 2.
Yeah.
And the thing that is most amazing about this build is the entire back panel is custom made. And it's custom made to have both coolant channels as well as channels made for wiring. It is so nice. It is so nicely done. It blows me away.
The wiring is super slick.
I've never seen wiring built in like this to be shown off.
So easy.
Yeah, and to be shown off because he is showing off the wiring. Wiring is something that we typically like to hide for the most part, especially behind the motherboard type deal.
Yeah.
And this shows it off, and it's routed perfectly, and it just looks amazing, I think. And I think this is the first time that we've seen that.
Yeah, no, I've never seen wiring put into a channel before.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. I wish I had done that before.
Yeah, why didn't you think of that?
Yeah, it just makes things super because it's such a headache to try to train it and get it where you need it to be.
And
you move something and it gets screwed up like this, just like it's perfect.
Yeah, so this again is built in the Hex Gear R80, which is the full big tower of the Hex Gear R40, which came out last year, I believe. Is one of the most popular cases to build in for modders. And this is the new one. This is the bigger one, so you can have bigger systems. So this is a pretty decked out system. Amazing water cooling. Really, really great water cooling in there. I believe he has a 480 rad in the bottom and the 360 in the top, which looks really awesome.
Big case.
Yeah, it's a really big case. Again, perfect wiring. Perfect water cooling. The colors match. So he has the Gigabyte G1 Gaming motherboard in there, and he has white and red coolant, which of course matches. Just good build. Solid. I can't say anything really bad about it. And I love the wiring and coolant channels in the back. It just makes it look awesome. And that's kind of the case. That's the side of the case that I would want to show off too.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just very, very well done. So it's done by Pope. We featured some of his mods in the past. And we link to his Facebook if you want to tell him awesome job.
Yeah.
And we, just like with our worst PC setups, we do Case Mod Friday every Friday, not once a month. So it's every Friday. So you can go back and you can check out all the mods that we featured and maybe get some inspiration or see what's possible. Or if you just want to check out some really awesome mods, we try to feature some of the best ones out there. So definitely check it out. And we'll move on to news. And I would say the biggest thing this week is NVIDIA officially announced the GeForce GTX 1060. That is the third card based on the Pascal architecture made for gamers. And it comes in $249 for non-Founders Edition. And then the Founders Edition, it will be $299. And retail availability starts on the 19th.
Nice.
And it's supposed to have performance on par with the GTX 980.
which is pretty significantly fast for $250.
Yeah, so it's based on the GP106 silicon 16 nanometer. It has 1,280 CUDA cores spread across 10 streaming multiprocessors, 80 TMUs, 48 ROPs, and a 192-bit GDDR5 memory interface, which holds 6 gigabytes of memory. It has a rated TDP of just 120 watts, powered by a single 6-pin PCI Express power connector. Now, there are two things that I don't like about this car.
Two big problems, yeah.
One, the most important one, is that SLI is not supported at all. There are no SLI fingers in this card. And for NVIDIA, that makes sense, because if you put two of these together at $300 or $500 if you get the ones that are the ones that are $249, you're going to get a card for $500 that's probably going to perform better than the top-end GTX 1080 for less money.
I think easily faster, yeah.
Yeah, for less money. You know, that's... So the dual card is what AMD is betting on with their RX 480. This is made to compete with the RX 480, but they don't want to cannibalize their higher-end card.
Yeah, see, I think that in the past there's been plenty of instances where the 60, you know, X60 card... in SLI was faster than the top tier card, so I don't see why now is the time that they're picking that up.
Yeah, I don't know. They just decided to do that with this card, so you know, don't think that you're going to buy two of these and put them in SLI because it's just not possible.
Yeah.
And the second thing with this card, which really bothers me, especially for custom builds or anything like that, is that if you're getting the reference design card, the power connector is on the way end of the card, and it's not part of the PCB. So the PCB only extends, I would say, 70% of the card.
Yeah.
But the power connector is on the end. So say you wanted to put some water blocks on this, or you know, have a custom cooling solution that you buy, third party custom cooling solution, which there probably won't be any. You're gonna have wires sticking out going to this 6-pin power connector. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what it looks like with a bare PCB.
Yeah. So it's a little odd. I can actually show... there. We have another post that I didn't link in our show notes actually shows
the photo.
That has the photo of the bare PCB that you can see that you can see the back, and you can see that basically the card goes just about to the, say, the middle of the cooling fan.
Yeah.
And then there must be wires or something sticking out to shit for the connector.
Oh, yeah, it's totally doesn't go that far at all.
Yeah. So, huh. So yeah, so say you wanted to put, like, you know, a block on this to cool it, you know, to put it in your loop, you really can't. I don't assume that, like, EK or Bits Power or anybody's going to make a block for this.
No.
Just because I think it would...
have to have a custom, like, power solution.
Yeah, like, it's...
There's got to be... That's very odd.
Yeah.
It's a strange move on NVIDIA's part.
Yes.
Why would you not want third-party water cooling support for it?
Yeah,
what does that do against you, you know?
Yeah, and as we know, they're, you know, usually when a card is released, EK and Bits Power, they all release their...
blocks.
Their blocks usually the same day.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah, so we haven't seen any yet. I don't expect to see them just because I think it's gonna be more headache than what it's worth for those companies to build that type of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So maybe we'll see custom cards from other companies that have a extended PCB that you could do that. I don't know.
Yeah, like a custom built-in water cooling solution.
Or not even a custom built-in water cooling solution, but like a, you know, like say like Asus does like an or a Strix version that that has a longer PCB that then EK could make a block for, because
okay,
they do, you know, EK does make blocks for Strix, you know, all the different higher end cards, they do that. So hopefully we'll see that if you're looking to do that. But again, you're still not getting SLI, and that bothers me.
I think that's a little bit silly. Because like I said, I remember it was the 4 series. Two 460s were faster than a 480, and it was less money.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Yeah, I think...
You don't buy the... It's two different markets, right? And it's the person that buys a single, you know, like a single 1060 for now, and then in a few months or whatever, they'll buy a second one when they need it. and then they get, you know, this equivalent performance. It's it's not the guy that's buying the 1080, he wants all the power he can get.
Here's the reasoning I think that they did it. A big reason is AMD. So, you know, AMD is marketing two cards that could perform better than a GTX 1080. So, you know, a lot of people who are considering the two RX 480s or a 1080, NVIDIA wants them to choose the 1080. Okay, and that they want that to be their only choice. They don't want them to choose two 1060s.
I guess that makes sense. They don't want the competition to
and
480s versus 1060s.
And, you know, maybe in the past you could have had that performance with the two cards, but there wasn't another big company marketing two cards. You know what I mean? So AMD is really marketing those two cards as if you want to, you know,
really pushing the crossfire.
Yeah. So, you know, you have that. And I think that this card wasn't even supposed to be released until end of August or something. So I think that they pushed up the release date to compete as well. Okay. But it's still, again, it just does bother me because that's functionality that I feel should be in every card.
It feels like you're having something like taken away unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You should just have that.
Yeah. So if you're interested in the GTX 1060, it will be available on the 19th, and you should be able to purchase it. Again, $249 for the, you know, all of the other base models, and then the reference Founders Edition will be $299.
These Founder Editions, that whole thing is kind of disappointing to me.
It's for fanboys.
Yeah, but like those coolers are really awesome looking. I believe personally that they look better than any of the aftermarket coolers.
But they don't perform as good. You
pay $50 more for them.
And they don't perform as well.
And they don't perform as good.
Yeah.
Why would I, like $50 when 300 is your total? That's significant.
That's very significant. That's just how they're doing it, and it must be working because a lot of people are buying them because they do look good. And like I said, it's a fanboy thing.
NVIDIA's kind of running the train on the money thing this time.
I know. So, talking about NVIDIA, this is something I know you are super excited about.
This is super cool.
They're going to be they're said to be unveiling the next Titan. A lot of people are calling it the Titan P because it's based on Pascal. And they're said to be unveiling it at Gamescom. And Gamescom is held between August 17th and 21st in Germany. And the card is expected to be based on the GP100 Silicon, and it's likely to come in two variants, 16 gigabyte and a 12 gigabyte. And these will not only differ in memory size, but also the memory bus. So again, this is the super high-end big chip card, so it's going to have HBM2 memory, which I know you have been super excited about for a long time.
Yeah.
So the 16 gigabyte would have four HBM2 stacks over a 4096 bit memory bus, and the 12 gigabyte variant would have three HBM2 stacks over a 3072 bit bus. And the reason we think that they're going to do it this way, they took the exact same approach with their Tesla P100, which they announced, what was that, a couple months ago. And the card, no, it was before that, I believe. Yeah. So the card is expected to have a TDP anywhere from 300 to 375 watts, and of course will draw power from two 8-pin PCI Express connectors. So it's very interesting to see this card. I assume it's going to be amazing when it comes to performance.
What did I see? Double the performance of the 1080.
Yeah, so.
Which is then more than double the performance of the previous Titan 2. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be a beast. But I bet it's $1,000 again.
Yes, that's what they always. Usually, the Titan card, it will retail when it comes out at $1,000. But keep in mind too is that we still have a 1080 Ti coming.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is actually supposed to be based on the GP102, which has not been released. The 1070 and 1080 are based on the GP104, and the GP102 is not yet put into a card. So
is that, is it a full chip? Is it possible to have HBM on that?
It will not likely have HBM.
Okay.
It will
waste my money on it then.
You've wanted every card in the 1000 series to have HBM too.
I want every card that's on the planet to have HBM too.
Yeah. So
look at the bus sizes. It's massive.
I know. So the GP102, which we expect the 1080 Ti to be based off of, it's not going to have the FP64 CUDA cores that are on the GP100. It's just going to lack those. So we'll have 3,840 CUDA cores.
This happens every time.
Yeah. And it will have, it should have GDDR5X memory running over 384 bit plus. So yeah. But yeah, Titan, new Titan. I'm sure everybody's excited. Will you get one?
Would I get one if I was going to spend $1,000 on a GPU? Yes.
Because, I was just asking if you were getting one in general.
Oh, no, because I don't have a need for it.
Yeah.
Flat out, I don't have a display that I need to push that through. But I think that it's going to make a ton of sense if it's literally 50% the performance of a 1080. It just makes sense to get this card then. It'll be less than twice the price. Tons more memory at a much higher memory access speed. It should do everything better than a 1080.
For sure.
Or a pair of them, even.
Yeah, pair, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we are excited to see that, so we'll definitely keep you guys updated when Gamescom in the end of August.
Should crush some frame rates.
Yes. Talking about AMD now, it appears their RX 480... which came out, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So there's a 4 gigabyte model and there's an 8 gigabyte model, and the difference in price is $30 or
$20?
$40, yeah. $40 price difference. Well, apparently it's been reported that the 4 gigabyte version actually has 8 gigabytes on the card. But the other 4 gigabytes are just disabled in the BIOS.
Yeah.
So basically, that means that you can flash the card with a 8 gigabyte BIOS, and
you've got an 8 gigabyte card.
Yeah, and then save yourself $40. So this was confirmed on a PowerColor RX 480 4 gigabyte card. Again, this is just the reference card.
Yeah.
And he bought a 4 gigabyte model. Computer recognized it as 4 gigabytes, but it definitely has 8 gigabytes on it. So that's interesting. So I think that we'll see a lot of people flashing these if that's the case.
I don't know though, because then you've got the Reddit AMA, and the AMD employee says that they were review samples. You know what I mean? So that they could test both 4 and 8 gigabyte. I don't know if this is really going to be, like, can you really see AMD? Like, that's going to be a lot of money by the time you're done with production.
No, I don't think...
To put 4 extra DIMMs on? Or not DIMMs, but, you know, chips? 1 gig chips?
Yeah, no, the AMA that's in there, the reason I put that in there is because they sent reviewers an 8 gig model the BIOS allows them to flash between 4 and 8 gigs. That power color one was found by a user who just bought it.
Oh, I thought that was
no.
Okay, a reviewer.
So the reason we put that is because that AMD does have software that allows you to flash the BIOS.
Okay, so you're just saying it is possible to flash.
Yeah. The BIOS is possible to flash. There's not an official BIOS flash tool available. I would think because of the internet, and that this is possible, we will see a tool become available to flash a BIOS, or somebody's going to release or leak this tool from AMD.
Yeah, there'll be BIOSes for sure.
Yeah, so again, the card that this person found that he bought as a 4 gig card did in fact have 8 gigabytes of memory on it.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and
I think that's like a huge oversight on AMD's part.
Yeah,
somebody is probably getting in trouble at a certain level.
Yeah, and again, it just saves you $40 much. Now, it hasn't been confirmed down the line as far as all of the different manufacturers, and you know, if an Asus card, MSI card, Gigabyte card, but at least this
just a power color thing.
Yeah, at least this one card does in fact have it, and again, that's a reference design, so I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think if you really were like, oh, it's just simpler, just ship all eights and we'll call them fours, that's so much money being thrown away.
Yeah.
That I just don't see that.
Or they just, like, the price of GDDR5 is so low that, you know.
But when you run a company like AMD that size, you cannot afford to just...
Well, they're not very good with money.
you have to be more accurate than that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
that's foolish.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't know. I'm sure by next week we'll find even more information on this. But again, it's pretty interesting. You know, so
very, yeah,
yeah, very very interesting.
Buy one. Let's see.
Yeah, I should actually. Yeah. Talking about the Radeon RX 480, no custom cards are available yet, but we have details on three of them, and they look pretty good, actually. Yeah. So the first one comes from Sapphire, and we actually showed you this card a while ago. Some of the photos of it were leaked, and now we have the actual real, I would say...
I think they're real product photos. I think yeah. the ones we saw before were renders, weren't they?
No, they weren't renders. They were actual photos, but it was kind of like it was definitely a prototype photo. Okay. Yeah. This one is the real photo. So the ones we saw back in June showed like a silver-ish shroud. It's actually gunmetal black. Which looks really good. Dual fan cooling system on this one. It's the Radeon RX 480 Nitro from Sapphire. And the fans are like the 0 dB fans, so when you're not using your card or it's a low at idle, the fans will actually be off, and the fans can actually be removed, so you can actually take the fan out and clean it if you need to, which is kind of nice. The back of the card has a full backplate, which is nice, silver and black.
Actually, I don't like the design of the backplate on this one. I don't feel like it meshes with the front very well. It's a different
feel. Yeah, different color. Yeah.
Well, and like it's like a harsh. It's got hard lines.
Yeah,
it's got hard edges. And then the front is like, you know, it's got little circles on it, and it's curved. They just don't feel the same to me.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that point actually. Yeah. So you have the backplate, which we both I totally see what you're saying. I don't like it either. Now that you mention that. If I look at the top of the card and I look at the bottom, I'm like, I don't like it.
Yep.
So you also have a BIOS switch on the top. So this will be a dual BIOS, like most Sapphire cards are, if you didn't know. So you'll be able to just hit a button and switch a BIOS, which is nice. And there is a Sapphire logo on the side, which we believe lights up, and it is RGB. Right. And this has the 8-pin power connector, so you have a little more power, which points to having a factory overclock. We don't know the official specs of this, but we assume it's going to have a factory overclock.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yes. So the second card comes from Power Color, and this is their big boy RX 480. This is their RX 480 Red Devil, and this is a really good looking card. This has a triple fan cooling design. And sadly, we don't see a lot of Power Color cards in the United States, which is not... I'm not a huge fan of that, but...
Yeah.
Weird. It has that huge three-fan cooler. The cooler actually extends the PCB, so this is going to be a full-size card.
Yeah,
so that cooling solution is going to do a really awesome job. That also points, again, to a factory overclock, and it does have the 8-pin connector as well. So again, you should have a pretty high overclock there. Looks good. This is like one of the better ones I've seen. Yeah. It does have a full backplate as well. It looks to be black. We didn't get a bottom shot, but you can see from the picture that it does have that bottom plate on there. So that's another good card. And then finally, we have MSI's Radeon RX 480 Gaming X. And this is their gaming branded card. So it has that Frozer cooler on there, which I'm a huge fan of. I really like the design of that cooler. This one
really well too.
Will also have a custom PCB. 4+2 power phase design in there. And again, it does have the 8-pin connector as well. All these 8-pin connectors on the RX480s points to needing more power. So you are going to have a factory overclock on this one as well.
And if not factory overclocked, you're at least going to have a greater overclocking capability.
With greater capability. And this one also has the backplate, and the backplate has the MSI Dragon on there.
And I like the little scale cutouts.
I don't know what you would call that. Yeah, that is pretty cool, actually. I didn't really notice that as being scales, but you're probably right.
I like this backplate the best, and I like the top of the Sapphire Nitro card the best.
Okay. So there will be a good selection of custom RX480s, so if you're in the market, I would probably wait for a custom one.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, because we haven't seen an ASUS one yet, have we?
No.
At least not here.
There will be... Everybody's going to have them. So they will be coming very soon. Talking about graphics cards, moving over back to the NVIDIA side. Gigabyte unveiled a really cool card, and we've seen these in the past. And they're the first company to do it with the GTX 1070, is that they released an ITX version, which is awesome. Really cool. Yeah, so this is a super small miniature... Yeah. GTX 1070 graphics card, and it is only 16.9 centimeters or 170 millimeters long. And it's made for an ITX build, and it gives you that power of a GTX 1070 in a super small form factor. So even though a lot of these mini ITX cases are made to fit a full-size graphics card now, some of them still aren't. And if you're doing a small build, or you're doing like a custom build where you need only have so much space, these cards are great. These cards are really awesome.
I think it's that space thing is what's the real driving force behind these. Is that even though you might be able to fit a full-size card in your ITX case, it's if you don't have to waste that space for just the end of the card, you don't want to, you know?
Yep.
A lot of times that'll interfere with like your water cooling reservoir or something.
Yeah, or something. Especially, again, in the small form factor case. These cards are great. I believe ASUS was the first one to really do one with a high-performance card. I think it was their...
I think you're right, yeah.
I don't know what they did it on.
I think it was a 9 Series card, wasn't it?
It might have been, yeah. I can't remember. But they were the first one to do it, and it's, you know... but Gigabyte is the first one to do it with a 100... or when I can't even say 100 series. 1000 series card.
Yeah.
And the card does have a pretty decent cooling system. Single fan, single 90 millimeter fan on there. It is a two-slot card. And it is factory overclocked, which is nice.
And it has
gaming mode, and it has OC mode in there as well. So a nice little card. I would say right now... if you're doing a small form factor build and you need a 1070, this would be one of the ones to definitely look at.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it begs for a tiny little water block.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would just be sweet.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll see one.
Yes, for sure. So, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I went out to Napa to... Gigabyte had their summer press event, which is actually pretty cool. And we got to see some cool stuff. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that they talked about was already announced at Computex, but they really wanted to give us more details on everything and really talk about some of the things that they've done and a lot of things that a lot of people really don't realize when products are announced, because, you know, they talk about performance or just the way something looks or something like that. So one of the big things that they talked about was their Extreme Series graphics card. So they have the GTX 1080 Extreme Gaming and the GTX 1070 Extreme Gaming, and both of those cards feature a new cooling system. So we know Gigabyte for their WinForce cooling. That's been, for the longest time, their cooling system on the graphics card were called WinForce. Well, with their new Extreme Gaming line, they have a new WinForce cooler, which is called the WinForce Stack 3X. And what's really interesting, a lot of this stuff when they were talking about it, I didn't even know about this. So this is a three-fan cooler. But the reason it's called stacked is the fans are actually stacked on top of one another. And that means that the actual center fan is actually recessed and the outer two fans kind of overlap it. That allows Gigabyte to actually put three 100 millimeter fans on the card and not have the card be longer than the default size, which is nice. And the fans are designed in such a way to actually have more airflow in that design, which is really, really cool. The fans have like a steep angle to increase the air intake. Mm-hmm. It's a really unique design, and it's always good to see. I know Asus is a big one with this. They always innovate with their cooling, and Gigabyte is another big one that innovates with their cooling, because we want these cards to be as efficient as possible when it comes to cooling. And this new design really, really helps that out. Of course, these fans are their 0 dB fans, so they will turn off when they're not in use. And there is a little there's a little status thing on the side of the card that lights up and lets you know when the fans are actually on.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. And the part of the cooling solution, of course, is the shroud. And on the top of the shroud and on the side is LEDs, and they're, of course, RGB, which means you can pretty much make them any other color. And I think Gigabyte is one of the only ones that actually has LEDs covering the fans. Like, there's a 4 LED bars that cover the center fan, which I think looks really awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah. So, again, this cooling system is available on the GTX 1080 Extreme Gaming and the GTX 1070 Extreme Gaming. And I would assume if they have a 1060 Extreme Gaming, it will be on that as well.
Nice.
So really, really cool. It's really interesting to learn about this stuff because, again, you don't really think about that when it comes to.
No, you don't. It's something you kind of gloss over for sure.
Yes. And they talked to us about their GTX 1080 Extreme Gaming Premium Pack. So they'll be offering two different versions of their GTX Extreme Gaming. You'll have a standard version, and then you'll have a premium pack. And if you plan on doing SLI or VR, the premium pack is the way to go. The premium pack is only going to have about a $20 premium on it, and you get a lot more with it. So the biggest thing that you get with the premium pack is you get Gigabyte's Extreme Gaming SLI Bridge. So this SLI Bridge is the new high bandwidth SLI Bridge made specifically for these cards, and it lights up, which is cool. And if you think about it, the nicer SLI bridges, like the ones from NVIDIA, are already $25 to $50, depending on which one you get. Mm-hmm. So a $20 premium on this just to get the SLI bridge, it's worth it. So if you're getting two of these cards, buy a standard edition, buy a premium pack, and you have everything that you need. Secondly, they have their VR Link, which is made specifically for VR. So, you know, if you're using one of the new VR headsets, you need HDMI ports. And the card only has a single HDMI port on it. So what this does is it gives you either two front panel HDMI ports or two rear HDMI ports that allow you that extra HDMI port for your VR device, which is nice. And this front panel device is actually really nice because you don't want to have to go behind your tower, especially if it's under a desk or something. The front panel allows you to easily plug in your VR headset and it's good to go. Also, the front panel, the 5.25-inch front panel bracket, has two USB 3.0 ports on it as well, so you get that extra functionality. So again, for a $20 premium, I think it's definitely worth it, especially, again, if you're either doing SLI or VR, getting the premium pack is definitely worth it. And it also comes with, like, a mouse pad and some other cool stuff in there, too. So
yeah.
So definitely cool.
Pretty cool.
And one thing I really liked that was at the Summer Press events was their new Brix Gaming UHD. And this was first shown at Computex. Not a whole lot of information was available about it, but they gave us all the specs here at the Summer Press event. So this is a small cube-like PC made for 1080p gaming or just running applications in 4K, like, you know, photo editing software or something like that. It's pretty high-powered device. It is powered. There's two different versions. The higher end version is powered by Intel's Core i7 6700 HQ processor. That is pretty much the highest end mobile processor from Skylake that you can get. It's a beast. It will do everything. They're also going to have a Core i5 model with the Core i5 6300 HQ. I don't think they're going to be having a Core i3 model. It's just not going to make sense. But also, you get a discrete GeForce GTX 950 two DDR4 slots, two M.2 slots, 802.11 AC Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 4.0, gigabit Ethernet, USB 3.1, all that kind of stuff. All in this extremely small form factor. This thing is super, super small. So it's basically like having a full-powered PC that can play games at 1080p or that can, you know, basically just be your main PC for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome that they're able to achieve that form factor. The bricks, the Gigabyte bricks are really, really awesome because they are super small. This one, of course, is a little bit bigger. But if you just want that no-hassle PC already good to go that you can do a lot with, this is definitely it. And it's going to start at $1,299 and go up to $1,500 depending on your configuration. But it is for that small form factor, I think that price is definitely justified. And the power you're going to get out of it, it's definitely justified.
Cool.
So, yeah. So those were the cool things at the Summer Press event, which was a lot of fun. And definitely good to just talk with Gigabyte about all the stuff they have coming out and all of that.
Definitely.
And finally, our one gaming piece of news for the week. Not a whole lot of gaming stuff this week, but the Battlefield 1 alpha is going on right now. Somebody was able to do a direct comparison of PC versus PS4 versus Xbox One and the graphics comparison. And this basically shows you that the PC... I mean, obviously it's expected, but the PC blows away PS4 and Xbox One, and it actually shows you how beautiful this game is going to be. So there is a video that we have in the post that is done by a YouTuber called Candyland, and they have done the direct comparison. Xbox One looks horrible. It looks super blurry, out of focus. It just looks bad, whereas PS4 looks pretty good. And PC obviously looks the best. It's super clear, super vivid. So if you want to see that and you want to kind of see what Battlefield 1 is looking like right now, you can definitely check out that video. We have it in our post.
Don't worry, though, Bob. Xbox One might look terrible in this, but there's a new version of the Xbox coming out, so it's all going to be okay. It's very soon.
That's not coming out for a while.
It's coming out in the fall.
Of 2017.
Slim. It's going to upscale. It's going to look tremendously better, I'm sure.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the new Xbox.
No, the new one doesn't come out until, what, fall of 17, right?
Yes, yes.
Scorpio or something.
Yes, I can't believe you remember that because I totally forgot that's what it was called.
You know, sometimes I remember things.
Yes. Coming up next week, we have a brand new case in, and it is Cooler Master's Master Box 5. And this is their brand new case, which was just announced this week. I will have my full review on it. And it's kind of like a builder's case. It's not very expensive at all. And all their master box or master case series and all their new cases in general are made for builders, which means you have a lot of options. You can fit a lot of stuff in here in different configurations. I really like that about Cooler Master. Kind of since, CES... they've really made things specifically for builders and people who are building systems and giving you a case that has a lot of different configuration options. This case stuff definitely has it. So definitely stay tuned for my review of that. I will be taking a look at Lenovo's ThinkPad X1 Yoga. So this is their sort of yoga version of their ThinkPad X1. We know the Yoga line because it has that screen that you can pretty much flip up anywhere. And it's really, really cool. So definitely stay tuned for that. And finally, I'll be taking a look at Sys Fuma CPU cooler. This is their dual tower, dual fan CPU cooler. Sys, not a lot of people know because their marketing isn't that good. And they're not as widely known, but their coolers are really, really good. They cool really well. They perform great. And they're pretty easy to install as well. They're not that hard. And a lot of the times our coolers rank at the top of our testing. So
you've always had really good results from them.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned for that, that review as well.
Price wise, they're pretty reasonable, aren't they?
Yes. Very reasonable price. Usually for the most part,
They should definitely get on top of their,
marketing,
their advertising game. In fact, they should probably revamp their website, but
Their packaging needs revamped. also.
Okay. So they just need to hire some artists, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't believe they really have a U.S. division.
Oh.
So but, that's a big problem, too.
Yeah. But, like, I can't even see this working anywhere. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just up your game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I kind of hate that, because, like, you make a great product, but, like, how are you convincing people of this, you know?
There's a lot of companies in many, many different markets and different products that have the exact same problem.
Yep. And if you don't, you might make a good product. If you don't stand out, it's just not going to sell. You're not doing yourself any favors. Meanwhile, there's plenty of junk out there that's well advertised.
Yes, there's quite a lot of it. And that's how they make their money, is through advertising, because people see it and they want to buy it.
Yep, exactly.
So, Seth, anyways, if you want to hire Derek and I as your marketing gurus, we will definitely...
we'll be on it.
Yes, we will definitely get you to take you to the next level.
Yeah.
But anyways, guys, at the end of the podcast, we always talk about what we did. I told you guys that I went to Napa, and that was a lot of fun. And then 4th of July, back here in Pittsburgh, they had fireworks on the river down at the point, which is something I do every year, and it was kind of nice to be on the water for that.
Yeah.
Did you? How was your 4th of July?
It was pretty good. Pretty low key. I did a huge bike ride and hung out with my family. Went to a minor league baseball game.
I did see that you went to a baseball game.
I mean, that is what it is. You know, they're fine.
Yeah, I mean,
local game.
It's going to be outside. It's good. Like, remember we had all the bad weather.
Oh yeah.
You know, that we talked about on the podcast for forever. We're like, it's so cold outside.
Yeah, I can't be outside enough. Like,
yeah.
I have not complained about the heat one time, and I will not.
Yeah,
I absolutely will not.
Yeah.
You know what I did do, though? I saw a decent movie.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about it.
I've seen a couple movies, actually, because it's been so long since we podcasted. I saw the Warcraft movie, for one thing.
How's that?
It was actually good, I thought.
Okay.
Now, I've never played Warcraft, so maybe that had something to do with it, but because it's gotten some bad reviews in the U.S.,
Did
massive sales in China, I guess.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch. I have to see it.
But, I can't imagine, like, having played it and not seeing it. It had, like, this total, like, because I've played other MMOs. It felt like you were, like, watching people in an MMO world. Like, there's little, like, paths that only, like, you can obviously only be on the path there. I don't know. It was cool looking.
I'll have to check it out.
Definitely check it out. And I saw a movie called Nerve, too. We got early screen to that. And I had not, like, seen anything about this movie. But it's like a, I don't know. I guess it's sort of a teen movie, sort of. But it's about, like using, like, phones and mobile devices and stuff to, like... It's like a super connected world, sort of.
Okay.
It was a little bit nerdy, to be honest. But, like, that's kind of, you know, where, like, youth culture is at right now, because... Like mobile, you know what it is. Like,
yeah, most.
It's not nearly as like nerdy as it used to be a nerd.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
so,
cool.
Like, it was pretty cool to see that. Yeah,
I might have to check that out as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like run and go see it at theaters, but it's cool. It was a good cinematography, and I thought that the soundtrack was really good as well.
Nice. So definitely give us some good movies to check out. I know Warcraft is still in theaters, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Cool. And Nerve is not out yet, or is it?
I think it released last night.
Okay.
Because, it was like a screening, and then the next day it released.
So on.
It was kind of weird, though. There were guys there. I'm sure they were just, like, hired, like, from some, like, local college psychology department or something. They watched us the entire movie.
That's creepy.
Like, to see our reactions and stuff, and how much we were, like, paying attention.
Did they make you put your phone in, like, a thing? Like, a bin?
No, but they were like, there's absolutely no phones, none of this, none of that, or we'll throw you out. I've never been to a movie where I was, like, threatened before.
Yeah, so this is, like, a while ago. I forget. I don't know if it was, like, one of the Star Wars movies or something that we got to see early. It might have been The Matrix. I don't remember. But it was, like, a big movie at the time.
Okay.
And, like, my buddy, we got, like, a week early, like, something.
That's awesome.
And, like, then this is, like, back in the day. Like, so I had, like, maybe, like, a Razer phone, so I didn't really care.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, like, I had, like, an iPhone with, like, pictures and like other, you know, like
your life on it.
Yeah, like my, you know, email and bank account, like bank apps and all that kind of stuff. So like, you know,
yeah.
So like, they made us put our phone in a bin. It was weird.
Yeah, I would not have. Now,
yeah, I'd be like, you're crazy.
Like, I don't need to see this that bad.
Yeah, Yeah, but that's cool. So on Derek's recommendations, definitely check those two out. If not in the theater, when they come available, either to stream or you can be like Derek and buy a Blu-ray.
I haven't bought anything in a while, but I've rented a lot.
Yeah.
I love getting the full content, you know, the full quality.
Yeah, I honestly kind of miss getting not only the quality, but like the kind of like special features and bloopers and things like that. Although you can kind of go on YouTube and find all that. But
yeah, probably.
It's just more convenient.
I like knowing that I'm getting the whole, like if you have a good sound system, streaming probably shouldn't be your thing because you're not going to get the full sound quality. Because
yeah.
The sound in a movie is a massive file. And there's no way that they're streaming that whole thing to you. There's
not at all. Not at all.
So there's no compression algorithms that I've ever heard of that would be capable of, you know, making that feasible. So
Pied Piper.
And that's my thing. So I'm not hating on you for streaming everything, but like I like to get the disc and pop it in the Blu-ray player.
What about Pied Piper, bro?
Compression. Oh, man. If Pied Piper was for real, I mean, we'd be talking. But
I haven't watched the last episode
yet. You haven't concluded yet?
No, I've been busy. Don't tell me anything.
I won't. It's good though. That's good too, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely watch.
If you haven't watched Silicon Valley, definitely watch it.
Yeah.
So
if you're listening to this podcast, you should probably watch Silicon Valley.
Yes, you should. It's awesome. So all right, guys, that wraps everything up for this week. As always, we will have our show notes page. So as I say, check out the article or check out the review. You'll be able to click on it. And if you're new to the podcast and you want to subscribe or anything like that, you can do it directly on the page that you found it, more than likely. Or you can just type in Think Computers, all one word, in your podcasting app or program or website or whatever you're using to listen to us. So until next week, catch you guys later.